When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wednesday night, there was a showing of the documentary Of Many at the Jacob Burns. It was the story of an Orthodox rabbi and a Muslim imam who both serve at NYU as chaplains and as teachers of a multi-faith program. Their story was fascinating, and their relationship, the honest friendship that they shared and then went on to give birth to in their student groups, was awe-inspiring. One of the things these two men said along the way was that neither one of them had to stop being who they were in order to enter into this friendship. They were confident in their identity, in their faith, and that's what gave them the ability to speak to each other without fear. That comment made me think about one of the challenges Christians face in this culture. Throughout most of our lives, the church and the society have been so enmeshed that sometimes it's hard for people to tell whether what they say is coming from their faith or if it's a belief that's coming from the society that surrounds us. One of the more subtle challenges to Christianity today is a model of faith in which God is sort of a cosmic self-help guru who exists to make us feel better about our lives, comforting and comfortable. But when we actually read the Gospels, that's not who Jesus was. That's not who Jesus is. If we look at today's scripture, for example, we read words that very much contradict the idea that God's blessings and the world's blessings look the same. The Beatitudes that we have here in this message spoken in the Gospel of Matthew come when Jesus has been walking with people, talking with people, healing them, curing them of all kinds of illness. The crowds have gotten bigger and bigger, filled with more and more people in need of help, people who are sick, physically, emotionally ill, people who are hungry. Jesus' followers are not people who are comfortable. So when Jesus takes the disciples up onto the mountain to begin to explain to them who he is and what he's about, what he says to the disciples, he says about the people in the crowd in front of them, "Blessed are you when things are not going well, when you are grieving, when you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, when the world in front of you is not at peace. Blessed are you when you figure out how to give mercy to people that need it from you." That's who the people who follow Jesus are. Not the powerful people at the top of the heap. These are the people who are desperate for healing. So desperate that they've opened themselves up to repentance and to looking out for the people around them who need to be healed. And in Jesus, they found someone who teaches them things like, "The last shall be first, And being a leader is being a servant. This man, he seemed to know what it was to be them. And yet he was calling them blessed? Everything about Jesus was a surprise. Everything about Jesus is still a surprise. One of those things that's so dangerous about this perceived seamlessness between being a good member of society and being a good Christian is that we can miss it. That Jesus calls us into places that are absolutely countercultural. There is no doubt about what Jesus tells us to do with strangers, with people in need, with people who are lonely, with people we define as different than us. Zacchaeus, the Good Samaritan, the woman at the well, the prodigal son. Jesus is not subtle about telling us that beside those people is where we belong if we want to be his people. That in our relationships with people who are in need, that's where we encounter him. Where we give him a drink of water and help him on his way. But what does that mean for us when we are people for whom society isn't working out so badly? Does Jesus only care about those other people? It's when we open ourselves up to Jesus that we actually realize our own brokenness, our own need to be lifted up. Some of us just cover it better than others. It's when we open ourselves up to Jesus that we are able to tell the truth about our lives, to find ourselves in these blessings, to know that we too walk with God. We're connected. And when we deny that and think that our righteousness, our blessings don't have anything to do with someone down the street or across the world that is in need, we've missed what's real for us too. And we've missed the blessings that Christ has for us. Our blessings come when we feed his sheep, when we share his love, when we dwell in mercy, letting mercy define our actions. I saw this powerful image yesterday that has stayed with me. It was an icon of Jesus standing behind a barbed wire fence. And underneath it, it said, whenever we build walls to separate ourselves from those in need, Jesus chooses the side of the wall where the need is. If we want to be with Jesus, where do we need to be? As we ordain and install leaders this day, we are asking you to take on a great challenge. We are asking you to lead us in following the Jesus of the Gospels, not the comfortable Jesus of our culture. There will be moments that will be difficult on this journey. Times when it would be much easier to just go along with what is culturally appropriate. But that's not who we need you to be. And we trust and we believe that you have it in you to help us stand for Jesus, whatever comes. That you will rely on the Holy Spirit to help you, and you will be open to God's word to you, and we will pray for you, and we will be with you every step of the way. So, what is the faith we follow? It's about God's grace and mercy made manifest in Jesus. It's about God's invitation to be God's people, knowing that none of us are worthy, but everybody, without exception, is welcome. Welcome into God's promises of presence and love, of forgiveness and mercy. God's promises of a life beyond the one we are living now. We are welcome to follow the one who gave his life for us.
and rose from the dead in love of us. We are welcome to live now in reliance on the Holy Spirit and in the life beyond. We are welcome to walk forever in the light of Christ. So my invitation to each of us today is to spend time thinking and praying about what it means to you to follow Jesus. Look again at the Bible, and particularly if you haven't read the Gospels for a while, read them and meet Jesus again. Let him show you what it looks like for you to follow him. In these days in which we live, it will matter that we know in our hearts and in our minds what it is we believe. And it will matter that we are ready to speak and to live from the perspective of our faith to those we meet along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.